Daf Ein Vav. So we got to the bottom of Ein Hey Mubeis. That's where we'll start. Today's daf is a big daf in regards to your Yardea topics, Bas Bechav topics, how various ways of Bishul, Recha, and Cham L'toch Cham. So the Gemara begins, the Mishnah begins, the bottom of Ein Hey Mubeis here, that Naga Becharasel Shel Tanur. So let's say you're busy roasting the Karim Pesach, and part of the Karim Pesach touches the oven, the inside of the oven. So the din is Yiklof Es Makomo, because now we know that the Karim Pesach could only be roasted from the Eish, from Tzli Eish, but here it's being roasted from the Cheres, so therefore that part is pasul to be eaten, and you have to just shave off or remove that area that touched the Tanner. Natav Meirotzvel Shel Cheres, let's say some of the Karim Pesach, the juices, the liquids, had fallen off onto the Kli Cheres, the Tanner, and then V'chazer Elav, and it came back in, so that those juices that got very hot from the Tanner, Yitel Es Makomo, you have to remove that place as well, because if you look at Rashi says, Yitel Es Makomo, five lines up, Delo sagile beklipa. Klipa is just removing the outer shell. Yitol is natila, is taking more, going a little bit deeper. How to define what natila and klipa, unclear, but natila is a more, removing more than simply a klipa. The reason why is el benetila yafe ba'ove, you need to have a larger removal. The shomen shuman nivla besocha harbe, the fats that left the Karim Pesach, that ricocheted off the tanner, goes back in, that's able to enter in and penetrate the Karim Pesach more. Vosa shuman mevushal min acheres, who's cooked from the cheres, therefore it's pasul. That's the reason why you need to remove more. The Mishnah says further, let's say natav meiroto ala solas. Let's say, while he's roasting the Karim Pesach, he also has some flour, he's making matzah at the same time. So there's some flour that the shuman falls onto the flour. We're going to see in the Mishnah, the Gemara, whether that flour is hot or that flour was cold. But there's some flour, some solas that the rotif fell into, and then it came back. Yikmot etz makoma. If you look at Rashi explains here that notif meroto shel ala solas. Mefarsh beGemara besolas rosachas, where the solas is boiling. The mitve roto michom hasolas. It gets roasted, the liquid, the shuman gets roasted from the hot solas. So now, it doesn't go back into the Karim Pesach, but now the solas has some Karim Pesach juices inside. You can't eat that if it wasn't tzliesh. So you need to remove some of the solas. You have to do a kmitza of that area of the solas. So then the Mishnah says further, Sachu b'shemen chuma. Let's say you rubbed the Karim Pesach with some oil that was from chuma. We know only Kohanim can eat chuma. Zar is not allowed to eat chuma. So the din is that now you have Karim Pesach that has oil smeared on the outside, which is from chuma. Im chaburas Kohanim. If it's the chabura only has Kohanim and they're allowed to eat it, so then yochlu they eat the Karim Pesach and there's no chashash of the additional chuma. But im shal Yisrael, if it's only a chabura or they have members of the chabura who are Yisraelim or Leviim for that matter, any zar. Im chayhu, if it's raw, meaning the Karim Pesach had not yet been cooked, yadichenu, just wipe it off, wash it off. It happens a lot. Someone mixes fleishiks and a spoon of, milchik spoon in fleishik something. If it was cold, you just wash it off. Nothing penetrates, so you just wash it off and everything's fine. But im tzlihu, if however the Karim Pesach had already been roasted, and then you smeared some oil on it, then the din is yiklof as hachit, and you have to remove the outer shell of the Karim Pesach because of the chuma, the shemen shel chuma that's there. Let's say sachu b'shemen shel ma'aser sheni. We'll see more about this in the Gemara, not today, but in another day, a couple days from today. Let's say they rub some ma'aser sheni. Now, ma'aser sheni is a fruit that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to leave, and nor can you redeem it once you've entered into the walls of Yerushalayim. So let's say you have ma'aser sheni oil that you rubbed on the Karim Pesach. The din is lo yasenu damim al b'nei chabura. You're not allowed to be podeh the shemen that's there. She'ein podeh ma'aser sheni b'Yerushalayim. The din is you can't be podeh. Once you bring the food into Yerushalayim, and it's ma'aser sheni, there's no longer any heter to redeem it. You can only redeem it onto money outside Yerushalayim, but the moment you enter inside, you can't do it. So we'll see in the Gemara more why this is in this Mishnah. So the Gemara says as follows. So that's the discussion. Itmar, cham l'to cham, divriya kol aser. Everybody agrees that if you have hot, Rashi's hot meat that falls into a hot boiling milk, or a hot dover is that falls into a hot dover heter, when both elements are hot, so then everyone agrees it's aser, divriya kol aser. The mixture is now in basa b'chalav, the mixture is now treif and that which is kosher, it's all mixed together, there's certainly that mixture is now aser. But the machlokas here is, or everyone else agrees before the machlokas, tzonin l'toch tzonin. You have cold meat that falls into cold milk. You just take it out and everything's fine. You wash it off, but nothing is aser. But the machlokas is cham l'toch tzonin v'tzonin l'toch cham. Let's say you have hot meat that falls into cold milk, or you have, let's say, a hot or a cold meat that falls into hot milk. So the din is Rav Amar Ilagavar, Vishmo Amar Tatagvar. So Machlokes, which is more powerful? Which is going to win each one? Is it the higher one, the upper one, or the lower one? So do we say whatever the status of the higher one, the upper one is going to define it? So if the top one was a hot meat that fell into cold milk, we would say it's Asr if you hold Ilagvar. But if the top one, if the meat was cold that fell into hot milk, we would say actually be Mutter. Because whatever the status of the top one, that's going to define whether it's Asr or Mutter. We look to the top one. If it's hot, then the mixture is Asr. If the top one is cold, then the mixture is Mutter. And according to Shmuel, we say Tatagvar. No, where the bottom is what defines the situation. If the bottom is boiling, so then the whole mixture will be Asr. The bottom is cold, even though the meat is hot falling in, that would actually be Mutter. So that's a big machlokas, whether we say Ilagvar or Tatagvar. So the Gemara now says, Tanan quotes from our Mishnah to try to figure out how to be paskin with regards to Ilagvar or Tatagvar. So the Gemara says, now before we go Vaita, we'll just tell you the answer how we paskin. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says four lines down from the top here, Shmuel Amar Tatagvar, Hokach Cham Latoch Tzonein is Mutter. If the bottom is cold, it's Mutter, because Tatagvar, according to Shmuel. If the bottom is hot, that's Asr. V'yafagav de hilchasa kirab b'isuri. Normally, we always assume Rav is correct by Isurim. We pass like Shmuel by Dinim. But here, this is an exception. Here, we pass like Shmuel, even though it's Dinei Isur. Da tanya tarti masisin kivasa kidda kamam. We're going to bring a number of rices that support Shmuel. So if they're supported by the rices, so then even Shmuel would be correct over Rav in the case of Isur. So we assume Tatagvar. So Gemara is going to go through the back and forth of the various questions and proofs. So three lines down in Ayin Vav. Tanan, the Mishnah tells us our Mishnah on Ayin Hay taught us that Nataf Meirotfel Shel Alacheres, V'chazer Elav, let's say some of the fats fell from the Karim Pesach onto the walls of the oven, and returned back in V'chazer Elav, Yitol Es Mekomo, you have to take off the spot where it fell back into the Karim Pesach. So the Havamina here is, it's a bit of a strange Havamina, but Kasaka Daitach Becheres Tzones. We're talking about where the Cheres, the clay Cheres, or the Tanur Cheres is cold. So if it's an oven that's being used for the Karim Pesach, seemingly it would be hot, but okay, fine, it's cold. That's the Havamina. So now, if it was cold, Bishma L'Rav Damar Ilogvar Bishim Hachi Yitel Es Mekomo. So according to Rav, who holds Ilogvar, that we always go based on which is ever on top. So in this case, you require netila, because since the Azar Rotav Mirasech L'Lecheres, the Hadar Cheres Mirasech L'Lerotav, now the Rotav falls, it's hot, it makes that Cheres hot also. And then the hot Cheres now goes back and cooks the Rotav, the Chihadar Rotav Al Pesach, now the Rotav turns back in into the Kar Pesach, K'metave Pesach, it's going to roast the Pesach, Machmas Chamimuso, the Cheres, because of the heat of the Cheres, Rachmana Amar, Tzli Eish V'lo Tzli, Machmas Davar Acher. So that's all because since the Ilah, the juices, we're assuming right now the Cheres on the bottom. The Karim Pesach falls onto the Cheres and it jumps back and ricochets back upwards into it. So if Ilah Gvar, since the juices were hot, we understand why the Cheres became hot as well, and then in turn cook the Shuman to go back into the Karim Pesach. But if you assume like Shmuel, El Shmuel, Damar Tatagvar, then the Cheres, which is the bottom here, came into Tzonin, who once it's called Akur Maker Leila Rotav. Isn't it going to cool off the Rotav? And Amai Yitol Es Mekomo. Why, when it goes back into the Karim Pesach, does it remove anything? If the bottom is cold, Tatagvar, so then it cools off the Rotav. What's the issue here? Why does it remove anything? So the Gemara says, Kedama Rabbi Yirmiya, like Rabbi Yirmiya says in the name of Shmuel, in the very next line, we're going to see Solas Rosachas, where the flour is boiling. So here as well, Hachanami Becheres Rosach. We're talking about a situation where the Cheres is also hot, so it's not the Ilagvar versus Tatagvar, both are hot. The Rotev is hot, the Cheres is hot, and everybody would agree in this case, Cham L'Toch Cham would be Aser, and that's why, according to both Rav and Shmuel, you would have to remove the Makom on the Karban Pesach. So now the Gemara says the next line in the Mishnah we had, Tanan, Natav Meirotval HaSoles, let's say some of the Shuman, some of the juices of the Karban Pesach falls into some flour. The din is yikmot es makom. We have to remove that part of the flour that the rotif fell in. Kasaka daitach, the havamina here is besolus tzonenis, where the flour is cold. So So Bishma, I understand the Rav, why if they remove anything, the Amar Ilah Gvar, the Ilah, the top is the what wins. And since the top here, the Rotev is hot, to Mishim Hachi, Yikmot es Makomo, the Mirasach Lay Lasolas, it boils a solas, the Hadar Hodrinu, the Hadar Solas Mirascha Lay Lidide. Then the, now that the solas became hot, it now boils the Rotev, the Kamatri Rotev, Machmas Chamimuso, the solas that gets roasted from the heat of the flour, Rachman Amar Tzli Eish, Vlo Tzli Machmas Davar Acha. So now the juices of Karim Pesach that's in the flour is cooked because of a davar acher, not because of a tzliyesh, and for that reason you have to remove it. That's only if you assume ilah gvar, because the rotev was on top and that was hot. But ela l'shmuel damar tata gvar, that the bottom always wins. So solas came in the tzonenesi, since the solas is cold, akure kamak makerle, it's going to cool off the rotev, so nothing ends up cooking. It doesn't warm up the solas, and the solas doesn't in turn cook the rotev. So lamali yikmot es makoma, why do you have to remove anything? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel, this is where he said initially a statement, Besolas or Sachas, where the flour is boiling hot, so when it's Cham to Cham, it does create a certain taroves, a certain mixture, and blios, and that's why it's Aser. But in a Hanami, had it been a Tzone, it had been cold, according to Rav, rather according to Shmuel, the Tata Gvar, it would not be problematic at all. So these are two Mishnahs, our Mishnahs, two lined, that don't pose any questions for either Rav or Shmuel. So then the Gemara quotes further from our Mishnah, Tanan. Sachu b'shemen shel chuma, if you smear the Karim Pesach with some oil of chuma, im chaburas kohanim, if it's a chabur of kohanim, yochlu, they're allowed to eat it, there's no problem with them eating chuma along with the Karim Pesach. Im she Yisrael, like we saw in the Mishnah, im chai, if it's raw, yadichenu, you just wash it off and you're fine. Im slihu, if it's roasted, however, yiklof es achiton, you have to remove the outer shell. So the Gemara explains, Bishma, I understand the Rav, damar ila gvar, amtulahachi, sagile beklipa. The reason why it's enough to simply have a klipa, you don't have to do a whole netila, because mishum di'ila tzonenu. Since the top is tzonen, the top is cold, because the shemen shel truma is cold, and you're rubbing it on the Karim Pesach, which is now on the bottom. So since it's the ila gvar, there's no real need to anything. You just remove the klipa, which means removing the shemen shel truma that's on the outside. That's why it's enough to do simply a klipa. But el, if you assume, like Shmuel, damar tata gvar, kevin de chamhu, since the Karim Pesach is hot, and you're putting shemen shel truma on top of it, won't the cham mivla bali, isn't going to absorb all the oil in a much deeper way? Amai sagile beklipa, why is it enough to simply remove the outer shell of the Karim Pesach, nitaser legamre? The whole thing should be aser, because the heat should now bring in all the oil and make the whole Karim Pesach aser. And so the Gemara answers that shiny hacha, this particular case is different, because sicha de mirashu ba'alma hu David. No one like douses the Karim Pesach in oil. They put a little rub of oil on the outside. There's not enough oil to actually penetrate into the Karim Pesach, and for that reason, we say it's not mivle bali into the entire Karim Pesach. But in a Hanami, had you been putting a lot of oil in or something else, and it was hot, the bottom's hot, Shmuel would say it would absorb all the chuma, and the whole Karim Pesach would be aser for Yisrael. If you look at Tosis on the bottom here, Tosis Diva Maschil Mishum, Tosis writes, Mishum Hachi, Sagile Beklipa. The reason why it's enough for the Klipa, Kagon, this is according to Rav, because he holds Ilah Gvar. And since the Shemen Shachum on top was cold, so therefore it's only the outside. And he points out, Kagon Shesachu Acher Shetzalu, only where you rubbed it after it was roasted already. Velonishtai Betanur Acher Sichaklal, and you didn't leave it in the oven after the oil was there. Because had you left, you know, you put the oil on the Karim Pesach, and then you roast it in that way, Shim Lokein, Aydei Resicha Sataner, Hayonivla Filuman Damar Ila Gvar. Meaning, even Rav would agree that if you roast them together, you cook them together, the oil will eventually penetrate. We're talking about after it's already been roasted, they rubbed it with oil. So Rav says, since the Ila Gvar and the Ila, the top here, the Shemen Shachum is cold, it's not going to get absorbed, just remove the outside of the Karim Pesach. So this too is not a kasha for either Rav or Shmuel.
The Enechanami.
Well, the Gemara makes a chilek. If it was raw, so then you wash it off. If it's roasted, so it depends how you're roasting it. So he points out the roasting of that seifa is something when you roasted it and then you rub the oil afterwards. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. That would be another issue, machmas acher, not because of tzliach. I wonder whether that would be considered machmas davar acher.
Deep frying at some point.
Could be, maybe, yeah. But deep frying usually is not when you...
It's not douse, but my point is...
I wonder, yeah, it's a good question. Right, possibly, yeah. So then the Gemara quotes a brisa as follows. Tanya kavasa de Shmuel, and this is the reason why Paschim like Shmuel at Tata Gvar, based on this brisa. It says, Cham lato cham aser. Hot, in terms of falling into that which is hot, is aser. V'chein tzonin shenasin lato cham is also aser, because clearly Tata Gvar. Cham lato tzonin, however, if the bottom is cold, v'tzonin lato tzonin, or cold into cold, that's mediach. So Gemara just points out that one of them doesn't seem to be so accurate. Cham lato tzonin, mediach, if hot, falls into cold, granted we pass in tata gvar. And since the bottom here, the tata is cold, you don't require, it's not usr, but in the end of the day, why is mediach, why is simply washing off sufficient? Kevin de chamhu, ad de makerle, since it's hot, since the top is hot, so it's going to cool off. But still, ad de makerle, until it gets cold, if shar de lo bala port, it's impossible that the bottom won't absorb something. Right, again, Shmuel holds, tata gvar means the whole thing won't be usr. The whole thing will be mutter. But there's going to be some transfer of taste here, so at least the outer shell should require it. So how could Shmuah, how could this Brisa say that simply washing off when it's cham, the toch tzonein, mediach shouldn't be sufficient? So the Gemara says, you're right. Klipa miha b'nibai. You certainly need a klipa, at least, in the case of cham, toch tzonein. So the Gemara tweaks it and says, you're right. Ela eima cham le toch tzonein, kol if you just rip off the outer shell, but if it's tzonein le toch tzonein, that's mediach. So these are the three different, really four different levels actually. Cham le toch cham is aser, and tzonein le toch cham is also aser. Cham le toch tzonein, you need klipa, tzonein le toch tzonein, you need mediach. And Tani Idach, another braisa, says the same idea. Baser roseach, a boiling meat, shenafel toch chalav roseach, falls into boiling milk. V'chein tzonein shenafel toch cham, if the bottom's hot, aser, that's like Shmuel tata gvar. If it's cham l'toch tzonein, v'tzonein l'toch tzonein, according to the braisa, at least this first stage, and then the din would be mediach, you simply wash it off. Gemara asks the same question. Cham l'toch tzonein, mediach, washing off is sufficient. Kevin de chamhu, once it's hot, since the top is hot, ad mi'ikir le, until it cools off from the bottom, if shar de lo bali port, it's impossible it can't have some absorption. Klipa mi'ya bai, you require at least some removing of the outer shell. Ela ema cham l'toch tzonein kolef, tzonein l'toch tzonein mediach. The same exact change we had on the first brisa is the same brisa here, and that's the two, these are the two brisas that support the opinion of Shmuel that tata gvar. Correct, exactly, yeah. Okay, so now the Gemara quotes as follows. Quotes from what we just said above, Amar Mar, Tzonein L'toch Tzonein, Mediach, so what you just said, that when cold falls into cold, so everything's mutter. You have a piece of meat that falls into milk, everything's fine, you just wash it off. So Amar Rav Huna just qualifies and says, Lo Shanu Ela Shelo Milchu, only true if it wasn't salted. Aval Milch, if it was salted, the din is Aser, it's Aser. Why would salting make it Aser? Damar Shmuel, Meliach Hareo Kuroseach, and Kavash Hareyu Kumavusha. We've seen this before, I believe, the Meliach Kuroseach, that when something's salted, has the same ability, the same qualities as actually boiling something, cooking something, so that will transfer. Once there's heat, once there's element of salt that accomplishes the same thing as heat, that will transfer Belios. And something gets covered, something gets pickled in vinegar, or something like that, that would also have the same effect as a bishel. So if it's salted, so even though they're cold, that would be considered Kuroseach, and that would also be a transfer of Belios. So Amar Rava says, Hod Amar Shmuel, that which Shmuel says, Meliach Hareo Kuroseach, that salting has the same ability as actual boiling. Lo amrin ela shelo necha machmas melcho. It's only true if it's so salted where no one would eat it. Lo shelo necha won't be eaten because machmas melcho. It's so salted. About necha machmas melcho. If it's eaten, even though it's salted, lo, that's not a problem. So most of the things that we eat is not overly salted. But if you ever go to, you know, a schlachthaus where there's a salt in the meat, there's a ton of salt there, nobody could eat that. It's so salty. That type of salt we're talking about will have the ability to do roseach. But to shake some table salt on top of meat, that's not what the salting we're talking about. So when something cold falls into something cold, all that requires is mediach, unless the meat is so heavily salted, like a person wouldn't eat it, then it would even create a transfer of blios because of meliach harehu kroseach. The Gemara now says at one time, Hahu bar gozla, a certain bird, denafa lakada de kimcha, it fell into a pot or a jar of kimcha, which Rashi says is kutach. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. Is be nisyove de chalba, has some milk in it, it's dairy. So the chicken fell into to the dairy pot. So Sharya Rav Chinina Bre de Rava mi parshunya, he permitted one to eat it. So Amar Rava, man chacham, the mishre milsa, who is the wise person to allow you to eat this? Kihai, like this case, Ilav Rav Chinina Bre de Rava mi parshunya, had not been this great person, the Gabar Rava, who is a great Rav, a great posik, so he must have been the one who permitted this. So Amar Lacha, he says, Ki Amar Shmuel, Meliach Hareo Kuroseach, She'ein Echel Machmas Milchel. So, but hi, necha machmas milchal. The only time when two things are cold and there will still be a transfer of blios is only when it's so heavily salted nobody would eat it. But this case was the chicken wasn't heavily salted. The chicken fell into the meat. You just take it out and wash it off because this is not an application of milchal maliach hariyo kuraseach. So Gemara says this is also only true. So this is getting to some of Ricky's points before when the meat falls in the milk. So the milk's allowed, the meat's allowed, just wash it off. But it's not always true that the milk is always allowed, rather the meat's always allowed if they're both cold. There are some exceptions. The Gemara says, honey mile chai. It's only true if the chicken was raw. So you take out the chicken, you wash it off, everything's fine. How about tzli? If it's roasted by klipa, then the roasted chicken, although it's cold now, when it falls in, it actually will require removing the klipa, because once it's been roasted, the chicken's softer, you could penetrate the walls, the milk penetrates the walls, that would require a klipa as well. And below Amr, this is also only true that mediach, simply washing off is sufficient, el deles be pili, there are no grooves or cracks in the chicken, it's a whole chicken. Aval is be pili, there's some holes or cracks or grooves where the milk could penetrate, even when they're both cold, that would be usr as well. And one other qualification, v'i mituvam betavle usr, if it was spiced, heavily spiced, not as much as the salting, but it's also spiced. That too would help generate some of the blios, and that would be usr as well. Rashi just points out the last Rashi before he turned the page. The e mitzvah, if it was spiced, bar goza betavle, the chicken was spiced in some spices. Usr the tavle mrachachele, it softens the chicken. Umaitse ubali lekutzcha, and helps absorb some of the dairy. So these are some of the qualifications that require even when tonen letzonen. Normally requires hadacha. These are exceptions where it requires even a klipa. So Gemara now says, "Amar Rav." Rav says, "Going on to Amar Beis now." So this is like a the Ein Vav is like a great summary of many of the halachas of your day. When you learn the smicha, go to Bas Bechav. It has like almost everything in Ein Vav here. These are all different topics. So now we're going to discuss Recha. Whether Recha is milcha, Recha la milsa, what that means is smell. Will aroma, will that be able to transfer from one item to another item? So this is a machlokis here in the Gemara. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Basar, shchuta, shamin. If you have a very fatty piece of meat that's shechted properly, it's kosher, but it's very fatty. The fattier, you know, meat is, the more Recha it's going to generate. So the din is, Basar, shchuta, shamin. Shitzalo, in Basar, nevela, kachush. You have it roasting in the same exact oven, in the same exact grill, and the nevela is a very lean piece of meat. It's not going to generate the same type of aroma. It's usr to cook them, even though the nevela isn't seemingly producing as much recha. My time, mifat me mahadade, they're going to be absorbing recha from each other. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, basar shchuta shamin shitzalo. B'tanur b'shnei shfudim sh'zerach miza. They each have their own skewer. They're very far from each other. It's still aser. Shereach min hashamin nichnas l'kchush u'mifatmo. It's going to fatten up and add some flavoring to the nevela. Now that's fine for us. We're not eating the nevela. But chozer zeh, but now the nevela is going to in turn motzi reach gamhu. It's going to return back some of the shuman agat and the flavors are going to mix with each other. And kol shekin, certainly in the case of shchuta kachush, if the shechted animal is weaker, it's a lean piece of animal rather, u'nevela shmena, and it's a fatty piece of meat from the nevela, that certainly would be an issue. But according to the first Ma'an D'Amar, Rav holds that it's aser, recha is aser. Comes along Levi. The Levi Amar, afil basa shchuta kachush, shetzalu im basa nevela shamein mutter. He felt the opposite. Even if the more extreme case, where the nevela was a fatty piece of meat, that will not actually generate any iser. My time, recha ba'amu. For recha la milsi. What's recha? There's nothing. There's no mamashes to recha. You can't put your finger on it. You can't see it. Recha is nothing, and therefore he did not think it would create any iser. This is machlokas. Recha milsa or recha lav milsa. And the Gemara had just a little mice, and Rashi here is very important. How we paskin. The Gemara says that recha lav milsi. Avrele uvda behi reish kalusa bigdi v'davar acher. So one time, davar acher, by the way, always is a chazer. When referring to animals, it's referring to a chazer. So one time in the reish kalusa's house, he allowed a gedi and a chazer to be roasted in the same oven because he was not concerned with recha. So now, if you and I just read this Gemara, it sounds like lichachila, he actually allowed a person to do this. Recha is a la milsa, even lichachila. But Rashi makes a very, very important point here. Rashi says two narrow lines down, avid uvda, shenitzlu betanur, uba maisa lefana v'hitir. It happened. It was b'di'eved. If it was roasted together, then he said b'di'eved, you're allowed to eat it. And the implication from Rashi here is, and Tosis points it out, but l'chadchila, you cannot rely on recha la milsi. So when you're trying to cook different things together, we say don't put milk and meat in the same oven together because of recha. If one had done it, and there are no issues of zeh is when there's steam. There's steam that's emitted. That's another issue. We're not talking about steam. But let's say you have two dry pieces of meat, or meat and, something cheese. We only assume zeah comes when there's liquid there. So nothing's liquid here. But you have milk and meat cooked in the same oven without any zeah, just an issue of recha. So lichachilo, you shouldn't do this. But b'diavad, if it were done, so we say, like Levi, recha lav milsi. It wouldn't assert if recha was the only issue. And that's how we pass. Gemara now tries bring a kasha. The reason why I brought this discussion of recha versus not recha is based on another discussion of karbanos of Pesach. The Gemara quotes the following. This is a Tosefta. It says, Meisive. Ein solin shnei psachim ke'echad bipnei ha-tairoves. You're not allowed to roast two karbanos Pesach in the same oven because of a mixture. What mixture are we talking about? My lav tairoves tamim, v'kashi le-levi. Is this not referring to the mixture of tastes? And I can only have my chabura, I can have from your Karm Pesach. So now when our tamim mix together, I'm having some of your Karm Pesach, you're having some of my Karm Pesach, and that's a whole big taruvas, and that'll be a problem. So we see Recha is Milsahi, and it's a kasha for Levi. And Gemara says, lo, not because of taruvas of tamim, of taste, that's not a problem. It's rather, mipnei taruvas gufin, because you actually might mix up which animal is which Karm Pesach is which Karm Pesach, and I'll eat yours, you'll eat mine. But in Gabi the tamim, the Gabi the Recha, Recha la Milsahi. And Hachanami Mistavr, it's very sensible to say that this Tosafta is referring to mixing the actual Karbanos Pesach. How so? Midakatani Sefer, the Sefer says, Afilu Gdi V'Tle. Even if it's a Gdi and Tle, which are two different animals, one's a goat, one's a sheep, and everybody knows they're different, even that's the case, they might come to mix them up. What do I know? Do you think I know the difference between a sheep and a goat and, when they're shechted and skinned? I don't know the difference between the two of them. They both look like meat to me. So even though they are different, you might come to mix them up. And the Gemara explains that. So, Yamas, if you're going to tell me, Bishma, the concern is Mipnei Gufin, you might actually mix up the eating of which Karban Pesach, Hainu Dekatani, that's the Chiddush, Afilu Gdi V'Tle, which is less of a concern of mixing up the two different animals, and yet still we say it's Aser because of mixing up the Gufin. But Ela Yamas, Mipnei Tarovas, Tamim. If it's about mixing up the taste, who cares whether it's a sheep or a goat, two goats, two sheep? It's about mixing up tamim from someone else's chabura. I don't care what type of animal it is. Malik gdi v'gdi. It shouldn't make a difference. So the only way it makes sense to say afilu gdi v'tle is if the whole chashash here is mixing up the gufim. But the guy mixing up the tamim, that's not a concern here. That's how Levi understands the brisa.
So, yeah.
No, just flavor, the smell.
The other ways it would be osur.
If there's zeo or anything else, actually, we're not talking only recha right now, only recha. Elamai amai, it must be al karchach mibnei taruvas gufin. The concern here is who the osur, because you might mix up and eat the wrong karban Pesach. Aval agave taruvas tamim, shari, there's no chashash at all of the mixing of flavors of the smell. So now once we've established that was the clear understanding of the Tosefta, that we're only concerned with the taruvas of gufin, but not taruvas of tamim, let's turn the question around and say, leima tevet yuv to the rav. So Rav, who holds Recha is Milsahi, why are we only concerned with Taruvas Gufin? Why are we also not concerned with Taruvas Tamim? So the Gemara answers Amar Rav Yirmiyah that Hacha b'maya skin. What's the case here? Kigon shetzalu b'shtei kederos, where you're roasting in two different kederos, and therefore there's no chashash of Recha. If I have my chicken in one pot and my milk in another pot, there's no Recha issue. They're both blocked by kederos. So the Gemara says, Kederos, Shtei Kederos Kesakadaitach? We don't cook Karban Panos Pesach in pots, we roast them. So the Gemara says, no, I don't mean actual Kederos. Ela Eima Ke'ein Shtei Kederos. They were set up, they were roasted as if they were Shtei Kederos. How are they set up Ke'ein Kederos? If you look at Rashi, you're on halfway down the narrow lines in Rashi, he says, Ke'ein Shtei Kederos. In that, Shapud Mikan, V'Shapud Mikan, there's a skewer here and a skewer here, and V'Tel Gadol Shagacham, and there's a big heap of coals in the center, or a big pile of ashes, b'emsa, so that separates each compartment of the roasting, so they're completely separate, but they are both roasted. So since you have a separation, there's a wall almost, there's no transfer of the taste. And that's the situation according to Rav. So in theory, there could be a case of the transfer of tamim, but this particular case is where there's no transfer of tamim because that wall of coals or of ashes. So the Gemara says, v'hachi kamar, this is where you read the Tosefta, according to Rav. Ein solen shnei psachim ke'echad mipnei ha-taroves. You don't roast two karbanos Pesach together because you might mix them up together. My taroves tamim ve'afilu kein shnei kederos. So normally, Rav says, there's a concern of tamim. So don't roast two karbanos Pesach in the same oven. And even if you have a situation where you could avoid tam, where you could build a wall of ashes or coals where the tam isn't an issue anymore, dileka taroves tamim, it's still us or mishim taroves gufin, because you might mix up whose carbon Pesach is who, the wrong chabura, v'afil gediva tla, even though one might be a sheep, one might be a goat, even in that situation, there's a chashash of taroves gufin. That's how Rav understands the brisa. So Gemara now says, two wide lines down. Amar Rav Meri Ketanai. It's really machlokas tonight. This discussion between Rav and Levi, whether Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa, Rav Meri suggests that's really machlokas tonight. What's machlokas tonight? Harod de Pas Chama, V'nitna Api Chavis Yain Shel Chuma. Let's say you remove the way they used to make their bread was like pitas or lafas. You know, on the walls of the oven, they'd do what's called Rediyas HaPas. They'd remove it from it. So it's a hot, fresh piece of lafa. Then they placed it on top of a barrel of wine. Now that wine had chuma in it. So the question is that wine of chuma going to now get drawn in to the hot bread, the hot pita, hot lafa, and now will that be chuma and only a kohen can eat it or not? So Rav Meir Oser, he answers for a non-kohen. A kohen certainly can eat it, but a zar may not eat it. And Rabbi Yehuda Matir, he says it's no issue. There's no recha here. Rabbi Yossi Matir b'shelchitin v'osher oser b'shel se'orim. He had a distinction between which type of bread you're referring to. If it's chitim, it's mutter. If it's arm, it's aser. Why? Bipnesha se'orim shavas. Apparently, the nature of the se'ora of the barley is to draw in the flavor. So he was machmir by se'orim, but he was makel by chita. Either way, that's we're going to focus on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says it's aser, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. The bread remains mutter. It's not shelchuma. So what's machlokas? My lav tanahi is not a machlokas tanahim. Demar sava recha la milsi. We don't acknowledge any recha, and therefore that's why it's mutter according to Rabbi Yehuda. And my sava recha milsi. And Rabbi Meir felt that recha is something of significance, and therefore the yayin shalchuma does penetrate the pita and would be usher to a zar. So the Gemara says Levi vale tanahi. Levi has to say it's tanahim. I mean, there's no way to explain why Rabbi Meir says usher other than recha. So he has to acknowledge that Rabbi Meir is working with Recha, and he could say that Rabbi Yehuda, who's matir, says Recha lav milsi. So Levi just passing like Rabbi Yehuda that Recha lav milsi. So he has to understand that the melchok is tanaim, and he's taking sides here. But according to Rabbi Meir, the Rav neima tanaim. Does Rav have to say it's a tanaim? Rav could actually say they both hold a Recha milsi, except that this is totally a different case. Why Rabbi Yehuda's matir in this particular case? So how does Rav explain this? So Amar Lecha Rav. Rav says the chuli alma Recha milsi. Everybody agrees Recha is a milsa. Lav itmarla, was it not said on this brisa that he Amar Rabba bar Barchana Amar Reish Lakish bepas chama v'chavis psucha divya kol aser? If the bread is hot and the barrel is completely open, exposed, everybody agrees it's aser. And why is it aser? It only becomes aser if there's reicha milsa. So that's a qualification. So it's the chavis is open, it's certainly aser because of reicha milsa. If it's a case where pas chama, or rather pas tonenis, if the bread is cold and chavis magufa and the chavis is closed, that's certainly mutter. Divya kol mutter, because there's no heat, there's no exposure, and there's no transfer of recha. When is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Again, in general, they both hold recha is milsi. They're just going to argue, in this particular case we're about to present, is there recha in this example? So lo nechleku ela bepas chama v'chavis chasuma. If the bread is hot and the barrel is closed, or pas tonenis, the bread is cold, v'chavis psucha, but the barrel is exposed, that's a machlokas. Our case where the Radiyas HaPas was placed on top of a Chavash Yayin Shel Chuma, so that case here, what's that case referring to? Hold on. That was going back on. So we're going back to the previous case of the Basar Shchuta Shel Shamein with the Nevela Kachash. That case is similar to an open Chavis and hot bread where there's Recha. That's the same exact case here. But either way, Rav clearly holds that both Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir hold Recha and Milsa is a Milsa in general. And that's the case of Paschama and Chavis Psucha. That's the case of Basar Shchuta Shamein and Basar Nevela Kachash. The only machlokas is when either the bread is cold or the barrel is covered. That's where the machlokas is whether there will be Recha in that particular case. Okay, now the Gemara says to finish off right before the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Tani Rav Akana Bred Rav Achinina Saba Pas Sha'afa Im Tzli B'Tanur Aser La'achla B'Kuscha. So the din is, if you bake bread in the same exact oven as meat, it happens a lot. Women are baking on challah Erev Shabbos, and they're cooking, I don't know, roast at the same time, some meat at the same time. So that bread becomes fleishik because of the recha, and you're not allowed to eat it with milk directly. That's the din. It's brought down halacha. Gemara then says, Mar bar Rav Ashi Amar Afilu. Let's skip a line here. Hey Benisa, which is a type of fish. Ditva Bahade Bisser, that was roasted in the same oven as meat. Asa Rava Miparzika, the Michle Bikuscha, he said that as well. Even though fish, as we know, is parv, if you cook it in the same oven as meat, there's Recha Milsa, and you cannot go ahead and eat it in the same oven. Rather, you can't eat it with milk because it absorbed some of the fleshiks. So then the Gemara says, Mar Baravashi Amar, Afilu B'milcha, Nami Asura, even if it was just simply salted, it's Asur to have the meat. The reason why, because Mishim Dekashi L'Recha, L'Davar Acher. Because if you look at Rashi says here, it's called L'Davar Acher, it causes Tsaras here. So then it's called Tsaras, if you have, it's a reference to the eating milk, rather fish and meat together, this is the source. Because if you cook fish in the same oven as meat, it's going to absorb, the fish will absorb some of the meat, and the meat will absorb some of the taste of the fish, and that will cause somehow tsaras. That's a basis for the Isser of Sakana, of eating meat and fish together. Okay, there's so much to say here, by the way, but we're just trying to get to the daf here. These are such big topics in Yardaya, but let's just try to do the Mishnah, the Gemara, and get to the top of Ayin Zayin quickly. The Mishnah says now, Chamisha Devarim Ban Betumah Veino Necham Betumah. There are five karbanos that are brought, even though the tzibur might be tame, but you can't eat a betumah. HaOmer, the carbon omer, v'shtei lechem, v'lechem apanim. So by the way, those are three examples where they're bread. They're not karbanos, those are bread. Carbon omer is a type of bread as well. So you eat the omer, shtei lechem, and lechem apanim, can be brought betumah, but you don't eat them betumah. And then zivchei shalmei tzibur, which are karbanos that are brought, and Sir Rosh Chadashim, which also are karbanos, so animals, these two are also brought to even Batuma, but you can't eat them Batuma. The one exception is HaPesach Sheba Batuma, Necha Batuma. Even though the Karban Pesach can be brought Batuma, it can also be eaten Batuma. Why? Shelo Ba Mitchilaso Ela Lachila. The whole reason why you bring a Karban Pesach is in order to eat it. If you can't eat it, there's no point in bringing it, so the fact that the Torah allows you to bring a Batuma also means you're allowed to eat it Batuma, and we'll see all this on tomorrow's daf. So Gemara now wants to know, Chamisha al-Mutemai. Whenever there's a number in the Mishnah, it always means there's a six that is excluded. So which is the carbon that's excluded? So the Gemara says, La-Mutemai, the Mute Chagigas Chamishasar, that the Chagiga that's brought on the 15th, on the first day of Yantif, the Sakadai Techamina, I would have thought, came in the carbon tzibur, since it's a carbon tzibur. And Rashi points out, it's not really a carbon tzibur. Chagiga is brought by the individual. Each yachad has to bring the old carbon chagiga, but it's called the carbon tzibur, Rashi says, because it's brought b'knufia, which means since the entire tzibur had to bring all carbon chagigas, it's considered as if it's a type of carbon tzibur. And kvile moed is a set time, there's a set zman to bring in the 15th of Nisan. So one would have thought, since it's a carbon tzibur with the kvias man, titchei tuma, this also should be docha tuma and should be on the list here as a sixth item that could be docha tuma. Kamash vlon, kamen dishle tashlumim kol shiva. Since if you don't bring carbon chagiga on day one, you can make it up all the other days of the yantif. Lo docha Shabbos, it cannot be docha Shabbos. It's not as pressing and not as urgent. Yes, it should be brought on the 15th, but if not, you can bring in the 16th, 17th, 18th, and so on. So since it's not the urgent, it can't be docha Shabbos. And with the Shabbos lo docha, so from the fact that it's not docha Shabbos, it's also lo docha tuma, can't be docha tuma either. So that's the one that's left off the list. So Gemara says, okay, what about V'nisne Nami Sir HaRegalim? Why isn't Sir HaRegalim brought on the list here as well? We mentioned the Sir Rosh Chodesh, Sir Shalmei Tzibur, which at this point is referring to only on Shavuos, actually. And then we mentioned Sir Rosh Chodeshim. But what about Sir HaRegalim that brought in every single Yantif, all the Shalosh HaRegalim, we bring special Karbanos Tzibur. So Gemara says, HaTani Le Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. We already mentioned Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, which is Shavuos, but that was a broader definition, really, of all types of Karbanos on Yantif. That was included under the rubric of Shalmei Tzibur. So that implies even there are other Seirei Regalim. Well, Yihachi, that's the case. Why don't we say Seirei Rosh Chodeshim Nami Lo Nisne? So once we're saying that Shalmei Chagiga, Shalmei Tzibur, captures all types of Karbanos Tzibur, so why don't we say that Seirei Rosh Chodeshim also falls under that category? Why don't we just say just Shalmei Tzibur alone? So Gemara says, Dehatani Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Because we already taught Shalmei Tzibur, so why don't we include that the Seirei Rosh Chodeshim is included, just like we say that the Seirei Regalim are included in that word as well. So Amri, they said, because Seirei Rosh Chodeshim wanted to teach us the following chiddush. The chiddush was, Itzrich Leim, Sakadat Techamina, Halok Siv Bahu Moed. Since Rosh Chodesh is never called a Moed, so there's a Havamina that maybe it shouldn't be Docha Tuma. Only that which is called a Moed, which means it's pressing, the time, the Zman is urgent, and we use the word moed, is that docha tuma? But it doesn't call Rosh Chodesh moed anymore, so maybe it shouldn't be allowed. So we have to single out to say, no, Rosh Chodesh is in fact docha tuma. Kamash milan, the Rosh Chodesh ikri moed, in fact it is called moed. The Pasuk tells us in Eicha, k'da abayit, amar abayit, tamas de haishaita, the year of the Meraglin, it was a leap year, not a leap year, rather, it was a full month. Maluya, it was a full month, 30 days. They had to figure out the calculation of, you know, from when Tishrei happened to know when the Chet Meraglim took place, so it had to be the Tammuz was a 30-day month. It was Maluya Malya, and the pasuk says Eicha Dichseva Karai Lai Moed Lishpor Bachurai. That Moed is referring to Rosh Chodesh, referring to Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and an extra day. There's an extra day, a 30th day, which is Rosh Chodesh, and that's how we know that's called a Moed. And since it's called a Moed, that tells us that even a Sira Sheirad Chadashim are going to be Docha Tuma as well. Let's quickly recap. I know there's a lot we did today. We started with the Mishnah about the various situations of the juices of the rotiv of the Karan Pesach ricocheting off the cheres of the Tanner, or falling into the Soles, removing, or the semen, the Shemen Shachuma, having to wash it, having to remove some of the Klipa. Then we had the Machlokes about Shmuel and Rav about Ilagvar or Tatagvar, whether the bottom one is more powerful or the upper one is more powerful. We brought through a number of each line of the Mishnah, and we said there's no kasha either way or no support either way. We ended up concluding like Shmuel that Tatagvar, based on two clear brises, that Tzolin the Tocham is Aser, because since the bottom is Cham, we assume Tatagvar. Then we discussed different exceptions. Even when there's cold, if it's very salted, Meliach Ariyah Kriseach, as long as it's Meliach Machmas Eino Necha Machmas Milcha. If it's so salted, no one would eat it. And then we discussed, even when it's cold, if it's roasted or if there are grooves in it or it's salted, that would also allow for transfer of taste, even if it's they're both cold. And then on the base, we discussed Machlokas Rav and Levi, whether Reicha Milsa, Reicha Lav Milsahi, regarding the roasting a kosher piece of meat or non-kosher meat in the same oven. And we connect that to Karbanos Pesach, whether the confusion was mixing the actual Karbanos, or the confusion was mixing the time, the taste of each other. That we had different ways to interpret the brises there. And then we spoke about the Redias Pas Chama on top of the Chavashal Chuma, where that was a machlokis about Reicha Shemilsa, or perhaps there's a machlokis or a discussion about covered versus hot, or cold versus exposed. And then finally we had the roasting of fish in the same oven as roasting of meat. And the final mission about the five karbanos that come betuma, although they're not eaten betuma, with the exception being the chagiga that's not brought betuma, and then the chiddush at Rosh Chodesh, in fact, is called a moed. Okay? Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos, and again, everyone's invited to the bar mitzvah.